Welcome to this episode of the True Kenner Cast. For this episode, I was hoping to get a few more people on and do a part two Spanibus preview. Sadly, I've been a bit overrun with preparations and I only managed to get on Jar Hoover of Lady Sativa Genetics. But luckily, we had a good old chat and it's enough to put together a nice little episode. Hopefully, you like this one. As you'll hear from this, at the time of recording, Spanibus was still happening. As I record this piece now, it's Tuesday, the week before Spanibus kicks off, and I am still positive that it will be going ahead, regardless of a few people, some of the big names pulling out. I won't mention who they are yet. I'll leave it to them to drop the news themselves, but sadly, some people have felt it necessary to take the precaution of not attending Spanibus. I myself and a lot of people are going to still be doing it. I advise everyone to take sensible precautions if they are attending, but don't freak yourself out and shut your whole life down. I wouldn't say I was a conspiracy theorist, but I don't believe half the bullshit that the media puts out. And I do believe that there's a lot more to this coronavirus than what we are led to believe. It makes a lot of people a lot of money and allows a lot of infrastructure and business to be manipulated. So I'm just trying to get on with my life and just take extra precautions. If you are coming to Spanibus, take simple precautions. Like when you go into cannabis social clubs, when you get in, go and wash your hands, because the chances are before arriving there, you've touched something and got your hands dirty. When you get there, wash your hands. Then when you roll up on a clean surface. Don't just roll up on a dirty table, because you're putting a rolling paper onto a surface that could be covered in germs. And then you're going to put that rolling paper, once it's rolled into a joint, into your mouth and pass germs onto yourself. So my advice for everyone is go to one of the Chinese bazaars, get yourself a 1 liter bottle of isopropanol alcohol and a roll of kitchen roll. And when you go to places, you can just give your hands a quick wipe down with some isopropanol and kitchen roll. And you can also wipe down any surfaces that you want to use, or use a flyer. Loads of people will be giving out leaflets and things like that. And that's a little bit safer than doing it on a table, but still not the best, because you don't know how they've been kept. So my advice is just a little bit of alcohol and kitchen roll, and wipe yourself, hands, and anything you roll up on or put anything on to keep it clean. Other than that, don't shake hands, don't fist bump, just greet people, be polite. And if they don't understand, then it's on them. I'm sure they won't think you're rude for taking that extra precaution. The other thing to be aware of is just not to pass joints. Don't take joints. Don't share rigs. Don't do none of those things. If someone's got a rig and they're like, oh, don't worry, I'm going to wipe the end of it with alcohol, don't do that. Because what if the germs are in the water and then they splatter back up? Wiping the rim doesn't make no difference. So in essence, use your own rigs. Smoke your own joints. Don't share drinks. Don't shake hands. Other than that, just be healthy. Eat a nice fruit breakfast. Take some immune boosters. Do all the things that you can to get your immune system strong and healthy. Make sure that you're getting enough sleep. Don't exhaust yourself. Spanibus, I'm the worst for that. And I do go too hard, doing too much and lack sleep. And it generally takes a toll on my immune system. So this time, I won't be out till late and starting early every day, because I don't want to get my immune system to an all-time low and put myself at risk of catching anything. So Yeah, guys, just be sensible, but don't let it ruin your time. Spanibus is the best time of year. There's so many things being ruined by this fucking corona. I don't want Spanibus to be one of them. Even if the expo did shut down, God forbid, touch wood, it doesn't. There's so many people in town with so many good things happening that it would continue without the expo and we would have a blast regardless. One of the clubs that I've noticed has got a lot going on this year, and they're also a big part of the Ego Clash, is Dank Grass Club. Check them out. They have an amazing team. They really make an effort to make their members feel as though they're a proper club with activities and things going on to show that they care about their members and they're interacting with them and doing things and setting up events and nights and activities, talks with people and a whole variety of things. So they're one of the clubs that you should definitely check out. I'm really looking forward to sitting down with them and doing an episode about their club so that they can explain to people how much effort they go into and exactly what a great club it is. Massive shout to them and Third Generation Fam for putting together the Ego Clash this year. I will be getting some coverage and a little bit of content at that event, hopefully, so I'll be able to fill you in on what happens this time. Anyway, let's get on with this episode. Okay, I'm joined now by Jar Hoover, the man behind Lady Sativa Genetics, a multiple cup winning breeder who's had high times amongst all of the big accolades out there, a fellow UK breeder now doing things in Spain. Everyone should keep an eye out for the BDL plug opening in Tenerife soon, where you're going to be very lucky and be able to try his work firsthand. How are you, Jar? What exciting things have you got planned for us at Spanibus this year?
How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, bro.
Spanibus here. This year we should be at Pure Sativa in partnership with Big Buddha Seed Company, Booth 20. You'll catch us. You'll find a few of our strains on there. You'll find some of the limited edition of the Feminized that we've got there, Night Speed OG, Yoga Flame, London City Diesel and Ultra Glue, and a few regs also. We've got our new strains, Knightsbridge OZ, that's our Knightsbridge OG cup winning cross with the Skittles, and we also have ODB Sour and Sour Marmalade and ODB Free in regs.
Nice. For me, I'm like, I'm always more interested in the regs, but you know, with Spanibus crowd, there's going to be a lot of people that are just all over the femmes. So
femmes wasn't something I really wanted to do, but I just done a limited edition batch last year, and we still got a few, but I'm going to be going back to regs. I like rigs. That's what I like.
Yeah, same here. So, well, in that case, it's even more special, this Spanibus, that once those seeds are gone, that's going to be it. So it's a good opportunity to get some stuff which ain't going to be around again. So, yeah, Spanibus, when people do come and do a little seed hunt, they need to know this is it. If you want to see these fem strains from Lady Sativa in your garden, you got to grab them now, because Giles focusing on the regs again and veering away from the fems. For me, I'm the same, bro. I know you like people breeding with your strains. I know how proud you are.
Right.
Every time I see you repost a person who's bred with your work, I know that's one of the most proudest things for me, is when someone then goes to that stage of loving it so much that they want to breed with your work. So the regs, that's one of the most fun things. It's like, it's the coolest thing to see other people doing
it.
So I know you're in that same boat.
It gives everyone the opportunity to become a breeder. You know, you don't have to be a breeder to sell seeds to people. People want to make their own.
I think everyone should, bro. I think that's something everyone should do. I think you should get to a stage where you've got your growing skills up to a certain level. And at that stage, I think everyone should do a little seed project and do something cool for themselves, like, and have one of their own strains. It's like, yeah, I don't think everyone does need to start a seed company. Fuck no.
No, of course
that's
not.
For sure.
But everyone
should
do that. Because it's interesting to do your make your own hybrids. It makes you learn about the plant, makes you learn about the phenotypes, everything. And the thing about feminized is, yeah, it's in a way it's stopping people becoming, you know, doing breeding projects themselves and having stable genetics. Because I don't really like to use something like an S1 for breeding.
For me, it's a lot more hard work, and also it's a lot more finicky. It's like whenever I make fems, some of them would be great, have no issues, but there's always a few that I have problems with and I can't release. So it's just a headache for me. It's so hit and miss.
That's why we never released the OD3 and feminized. Because it'll never work, because we've tested it so many times and we've always had that hermaphrodite issue when you feminize it for some reason.
Yeah, that's it.
And so we never released it. We only released the ones that we knew that worked and didn't have the issue.
Yeah, that's the way, man. You've got to be selective about it.
But the thing we have found out while we was in Spain, when we done a bit of work in Spain, some plants that do hermaphrodite, when you grow them outside, they do not herm.
Bro, exactly that. You know what? All the fem seeds that I have not been able to sell because they don't work indoors, I grow them outdoors every season because they don't have no problems.
Yeah, and they will not hermaphrodite at all.
Yeah, it's really weird, bro.
No, there's a reason behind it all.
I guess the moon's a light almost. So if the moon's out.
When we're in artificial environment, you see these plants, we're forcing them to grow in artificial environments. When you put them back in natural nature, they're getting all the elements from the sun, everything, nature. And there's no stress. It's less stress outside for them. And the thing about plants with that hermaphrodite tendency, when you're in an artificial environment, anything can trigger it.
Yeah.
When you're outside in the outdoor, you don't have those issues. The plant is happy. That's why a lot of seeds that do have that herm issue, you grow them outdoors, you'll never have a herm issue.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. That's one of the things that started the craze of Moroccan feminized seeds being grown out there, was when certain seed companies did projects like the ChemDog Fems, and they were so hermy that they couldn't sell them. And then all of a sudden there was ChemDog hash coming in from Morocco, because that's where they sent all those seeds.
Of course, plants are always happy in a natural environment.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've always learned about. Over the years growing, as we all started in the closet, growing in little rooms, cupboards, then moving to slightly bigger rooms, then some of us have been lucky to go over to Spain or go to Romania, set up some grows and stuff. You learn about plants. When you grow plants outdoors in like Spain or in a hot country, you learn more about the plant than you would indoors, if you know what I mean.
Yep, I love it. It's my favorite style of growing is outdoors. There's nothing more pleasurable than waking up early morning just as the sun's rising and water plants that are in the sun and in the ground.
Of course. Well, there's not a light bulb, HPS, whichever can ever compare to the sun.
No, that's it.
You can never get all those spectrums.
One of the strains I wanted to ask you about was the Skittles cross. Obviously, at the moment, everyone's going Skittles crazy. So was it the Knightsbridge OG cross with the Skittles that you've done?
Basically, the thing about the Skittles was I liked the terps from it, but I didn't really get high from it.
Yeah.
From smoking. And I smoked from many people from different sources, but it had a great terp profile. Just like the Agent Orange when I started the OWV3 project. We all loved Agent Orange, but it didn't really get you high, it didn't get you stoned, but it had a great terpene profile of oranges. And I wanted to do the same sort of thing with the Skittles, but I wanted to add a bit more potency and strength to it. So that's why I crossed it with my multiple cup winning strain, Knightsbridge OG. And we've done a little bit of testing with it, and we found some beautiful phenotypes, and they're very uniformed as well. Like nice. A lot of the strains, the Knightsbridge OG, when you grow them, a lot of the strains look like clones almost. If you remember back in the days, like the C99 that come from that company, Feminized Seeds. Do you remember them, Feminized NL?
Yep, I remember them.
Do you remember when everyone was germinating the seeds? The seeds look almost identical, like clones.
Yeah.
And that's what I've managed to somehow, it's been very uniformed.
Nice, because the Skittles terp is a special one.
I thought I'd have to back cross it again, but it seems like I don't have to.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the first hit's enough, because with something like the Skittles, I've seen so many people that have crossed it with things, and even in the first generation, they lose the profile. So sometimes doing too many crosses with it, you just end up working away from it. So yeah, that first one sometimes is just enough to get exactly what you need. And then people pop a pack, and as long as they've got that one or two keepers that they can kind of run for a few terms and decide which they prefer, and they come away with the perfect one, then they're onto a winner, because yeah, it's a
Have you also noticed
one.
About the Skittles that is quite dominant?
Yeah, I've heard. Well, do you know what?
It's quite dominant, because I've seen a few people's crosses, and I've seen the Skittles come out a bit more than the other strain. You can't even taste the other strain hardly.
Yeah, do you know what it is? I think it's one of those things where it's about what you cross it to. It's like, you know, some people are like, have done it where they've just hit it to something where it's just clashed completely and been dulled down, whereas other people have hit it to things where it allows it to come through more. So
yeah, with the Knightsbridge, it's like I got like a nice 50-50 balance.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. Hopefully someone's going to have that in Spain.
I've got a curvy profile, and I've got a bit of the strength and a bit more, you know, power in there from the Knightsbridge, and it's looking great. Absolutely reeking. It's sour, and it's got the Skittles, I would say, is a bit more fainter in the background of the Knightsbridge OG. He's got that bit of sour from the Diesel cross. This is the Knightsbridge OG. This is the cross off the original Diesel times Captain Cripps OG Kush SFB. So you got that bit of that Diesel in the background as well.
Good to hear Captain Cripp's name. Good old Captain Cripp. I see him Captain post Cripp. Recently. I think he might be coming back, you know. I think he might be making a comeback. So
let's be real now, True. Come on. We've been around for a long time, yeah? Where have all the real good breeders gone? You know, the old school guys we looked up to.
Yeah, there's a lot Cripp? In the woodwork still, a lot coming through.
Where are these guys, man? You know, I'd love to see these guys back on the scene.
Do you know what it is? So much drama, bro, it frightens a lot of people off. You know how it is. I know he had a lot of issues with people.
Come on, if it weren't for Captain Cripp, back in the days, 2009, he bought basically OG to Europe.
Yeah, no, I remember. He done a project with DNA. He had a release for them.
You know, everyone got a pack from the guys, and we all started strains from that.
100%. A lot of people have done work with Cap Crip. That was a big name at the time. He's a good guy. I really liked him.
Also, big respect to DNA Genetics. Also, you know, they give me the original Diesel cut, and that's been it's been a backbone of LSG strains over the last few years.
Yep, it's going to be nice to see them at Spanibus this year. That's another thing that's always awesome. Hopefully they'll both be there. I'm not sure yet, but fingers crossed both of them will be in attendance this year.
Well, over the years, you know, the cannabis industry has changed. Come from when we was around going to the IC Mag Cups, there was only a few of us. Even High Times, there weren't a lot of people from UK. It was mostly a lot of Americans coming to Amsterdam.
Yeah, when you're at something like Spanibus now, I hate to say it, but there's so many shitty seed companies that have just spent so much money, and their booths look incredible. They got a bunch of hot girls, everything looks amazing. They've got artwork done. They've spent more than we're spending 10 years on marketing just for one event. Yeah. And it's like the only way we can fucking keep up with that is by being under an umbrella like Pure Sativa, where we're amongst a bunch of other solid breeders. And when people come there and they see the names listed, they know they're all quality. So
that's why I chose to be with Pure Sativa as my distributor, because I saw under the umbrella was like some good breeders like
Yeah,
Karma,
all my peers, all the people I looked up to before I ever started breeding.
You know, the old school team, our old school team, who are also known as good breeders around the world now, they were under that one umbrella, and I knew that was the right place for me to be as well.
100%, bro. This is the thing, yeah. Like I was saying with Amit the other day, I like being amongst those people. I don't look at it as competition. I look for inspiration from these people.
You've
got to look at yourself for competition,
you know,
bro. Just competing with you.
I've noticed about all of us, Karma, you, even Nav, Tricom, all everyone. Everyone has a slight different palette.
Yeah, that's the thing, bro. We're all in our own lane. That's it, bro.
None of our stuff is like each other's.
Yeah, 100%, bro.
Karma has his own line and his own flavor line. I have my own palette of line. You have your own line. Tricom has his own line.
Do you know what the key to this is, bro? The reason we don't clash is because we do have our own genuine likes and lines going in a direction we want to. So we're not going to clash. It's all of these companies that just copy whatever the hype is that end up clashing because they're all trying to jump on a bandwagon just to make money. They're not breeding from the heart. And because we all breed from the heart and we're doing what we've got passion for, we all go in different directions and all of our fucking things are different and complement one another. So it's nice to see everyone doing different projects and it's nice to be like looking at each other and saying like, rah, that was a sick fucking move he pulled with that project. Rah, like, oh, I need to think about a nice sativa now. Oh, and like be inspired by people, not be hating and looking at the next man and worrying what they're doing. I look to the next person and think like, wow.
DNA has their Tangy. When they first released their Tangy, I love that strain. I still do love that strain. But it's a different terpene of orange.
Yeah, that's it.
And when I first started my ODV3 Oval Orange Diesel project, which we started off with, we started with the Agent Orange Pollen from Dr. Penfold from IC Mag.
Yeah, and legend. Love that, man.
But he had that. His orange was different from everyone else. It was nothing like Tangy. It was different orange. So I hit into the original diesel, but the thing was, it was dominant. The Agent Orange was very dominant. Have you worked with the Agent Orange before?
No, but I've smoked a lot of it and smelled a lot of the hybrids. Yeah,
I had to cross it.
R.I.P. Subcool. R.I.P. Subcool.
R.I.P. Subcool. If it weren't for Subcool, there would be no ODV3.
Yeah, man.
And some of the other orange strains around. Yeah,
a lot of people got him to thank for that. 100%, bro. Good to recognize.
He's another legendary breeder, you know.
Yeah,
people
definitely.
Won't know. This guy was probably one of the first guys to actually be on the terp line.
Yeah.
He used to focus more on terps more than anything.
Yeah, definitely.
Unique flavors from him. A lot of unique flavors. But ODV started from ODV1. I wasn't happy. It was more 75% orange. It was 25% just diesel. Then I started ODV2. We got a bit more closer. But when I got to ODV3, I noticed that I had 75% diesel, 50% diesel and 50% orange. I was happy. It was leveled out, it was balanced.
Yeah, do you know what I think was...
2011, I started that project.
One of the good things was you, bro.
2014.
One of the good things with you was that the timing for that whole project happened just as the extract boom came around. And it was such an important time for those kind of terp profiles. So when the ODV was coming out, people were just starting to get into the extract game in Europe. And all of a sudden you're starting to see little batches come up and a few people ran it and it won some competitions. And it really was a popular one that people kind of latched onto and it built up a massive name back in the UK, the ODV3.
This is what I believe in. As a breeder, we shouldn't be creating 100 strains. I mean, let's be real, yeah? If we create 10 strains, yeah, in our lifetime, yeah, these strains should be, if they're good enough today, they should be good enough 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line. You understand? It's not about creating 100 strains that you cannot stabilize or look after. It's about creating solid strains that are going to be around for a long time.
It's nice to have some actual line breeding and get a few generations into something. I've just finished a third generation of the truth and I'm harvesting those seeds at the moment. So yeah, I've got to a V3 on something as well.
I like to do also, you know, when I make like hybrids, I don't like to cross. I like to use my strains that I created and cross, do the hybrid with that strain, then rather find two other strains and cross them.
Yeah, 100%. All my projects recently are my own.
Line, then you don't get other breeders saying to you, oh, by the way, you just crossed Skittles with this strain. We've done that before. They can't say that to me because ODV3 is my strain, Knightsbridge is my strain. So when I create a hybrid, I've made a new hybrid.
Definitely.
That belongs to me.
Have you got anything planned for the rest of the year, strain-wise? Any projects are underway?
I'm working. I've got a lemon tree cutting. It reminds me of New York City Diesel, to tell you the truth, the lemon tree.
Yeah.
And I will be doing some hybrids with the ODV3. But this year, I think the hybrids I've released between last year and this year, I'll be sticking to those, and I'll probably release one or two more. And I think we're going to be focusing on the club and the strains that we have already. Because to tell you the truth, if they're good enough today, they should be good enough in 20 years' time. Because what's going to happen? Is the potency going to go down? It should be good. If you're good enough, you're doing your breeding properly, Your strain should always be stable. Yours should be consistent.
I bet you can't wait to get the menu packed out at the BDL plug and have all your stuff.
The BDL plug is going to be something new, because one thing is we've had a lot of coffee shop social clubs, and you know, when it comes to quality and stuff, we're going to try to do something different here. We're going to try to bring quality back in. Try bringing, you know, the plants are flushed properly.
Don't let them sell a bunch of shitty Cali weed and disrespect your work, bro. Don't let them charge.
Well, my menu is going to be my menu, and there's going to be some, obviously they're going to have to cater for some sort of Cali market as well. But my menu, they're going to have my menu with my stuff, and that's going to just be authentic LSG stuff from all the cup winning clones and everything. So it should be quite good, really. It gives everyone the option. If you want to smoke Cali,
Because it's associated to the plug, Jack always gets the best Cali flavors. So yeah, it's like, it's going to be good Cali stuff. So it's like, your stuff's going to be online.
He has 100 flavors in. You can't make your mind up when you go to his coffee shop or the club in the Barcelona. There's too much.
It's going to be nice for you to have an option.
So I'm sure you'll bring a lot of flavours to the club.
It's going to be nice for you to have an opportunity to put your work next to the Cali stuff and show people that it's not about geographical location. It's about the work that's put in and how well it's grown, and anyone can get to that level. So they see some nice ladies
can be grown anywhere. Well, it's not about geographical location.
100%.
Come on, we've got a clone. This clone is grown in California. Same clone is grown in the UK. It's not down to the geographical location. Yeah, the altitude can help a little bit in the air, because different parts of the world.
Just good rooms. That's all we need.
But a lot of these growers are using closed loop rooms anyway, so it doesn't matter about the altitude or the air.
That's it. Once you've got a sealed
down
room.
To the grower.
Yeah.
Because, come on, let's see. Right now in the UK, I am absolutely seeing some amazing work. Amazing work. The growers are growing stuff that's better than what you can get in these tins and plastic packets that's coming. I don't know where it's coming from.
Hopefully you're going to see some of your strains in Barcelona when you come over. I know that there's a few of them floating around the different clubs. It's always interesting for me.
I've seen a few of them floating around. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what it's like. There was some in Amsterdam a few years ago. Some of them were great and some of them were not even actually the strain. So,
yeah. Do you know what? Barcelona's not that bad yet. No one's.
You get some phony ones out there as well.
Yeah, Barcelona's not got to that level with like fake naming things, to be honest.
That's
They're pretty
Amsterdam.
Good at that. Yeah, Amsterdam were just terrible for that. But no, Barcelona, hopefully there'll be a couple of good spots. Like I say, the ODV-3 is a good one for extract. So there's often like diamonds and sauce or some kind of hash from that in town where someone's done an extract of it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It should be amazing, yeah.
What clubs do you hang out at when you come to Barcelona? What are your normal favourites?
I don't really
favorites?
Go to a lot of clubs when I'm... But I do pop over to... The first club I did pop over to when I went... Was it the Plug?
Yeah,
Plug and Terpsalm. They're the only two clubs I really go to.
Yeah, wicked. You'll have to check out a new one called One Up, which is a friend of mine. Yeah, it's an Italian friend of mine called Lorenzo, who used to do Nerd Extractions, but he's focusing on this place
Lorenzo.
Now. Yeah, Lorenzo, awesome guy. He's got a new place that's incredible.
He's the one who bought the Badass OG to Europe,
Quite possibly.
That's the cup we sourced as well. Have you tried the Badass OG?
Yeah, because he used to live in Amsterdam, right? You maybe know him from when he lived in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He was one of the first people, along with me and Ramon, when we'd done OCD Labs. It was us and him that had the first extract companies in Europe. And now he's...
It's nice to see him for a while, actually.
You're going to have to check his club out, bro. He's got a wicked club. It's got loads of old retro arcade games, so you can play all like old Street Fighter 2 games and stuff like that. It's got some sick artwork. It's got like a hash-making lab. You can watch them making bubble hash in like a little room through the window next to the dispensary. So super cool place, amazing menu. They got like 20 different boxes of like American cereals, so you can have some fucking killer munchies there as well.
It looks like Barcelona's really come up. Well, much more than Amsterdam.
Bro, it's rapid. Every year there's a massive improvement. Spanibus is my like measuring stick for each year, so that like I kind of really get to check things out and see where the levels are at and what people have done in the last 12 months. So each time the clubs get better, the flavors get better, there's more growers moving here constantly, the growers that are here are learning rapidly, so things are improving massively, bro. I remember when I first came here, it was like crazy poor quality, such a lack of good strains. Now, my God, it is really a treat. You can go out and smoke like a king here from anyone.
Well, let's just
of
hope
like
the UK follows soon and goes legal here.
Oh, bro, it'd be so special.
I think it will go legal here because look, they're trying to like relax the public now and stuff. Like they're putting the big nasty show on.
They're desensitizing people. Big, I think they are desensitizing people. I believe that.
This is their method. This is the method how the system works. They'll use television to soften everyone up towards
100%,
it. 100%,
bro.
And then they'll legalize it eventually.
Yep,
and that's
see
why
that.
You've got things like the Big Nasty Show coming on television.
I love it. It's so funny, bro. Such a good show.
And laugh about it. It's not such a big deal.
100%, bro. That show is amazing.
I know for a fact when UK goes legal, it's going to be a big change. I think a lot of people are going to do a lot of amazing things here because there's a lot of talent here.
100%, bro. I think it'll change a lot of areas.
Fair enough, I've won these cups, but I never considered myself to be the best grower in the UK. I just thought I was only one few who actually got up and attended the cup. If you never enter, you never know. Yeah? And in those days, there was only a few of us who used to get up and go and do it. But there's loads of amazing guys here growing brilliant. You know? They're doing their own breeding. They're growing, they're extracting everything. There's such amazing talent in the UK. And when it does go legalized here, I think the world's going to be shocked to see what UK can bring to the table.
Well, if we get an opportunity to have cannabis social clubs and outlets like that in the UK, they will be incredible.
Already happening, already undercover. There's probably 200 clubs in London as it is.
No, that's
and some are really good. There's some of the clubs that are really good.
No, it's good to hear these things
like
are happening.
Dutch coffee
bro.
Shops, you know, social clubs you get in Barcelona, just as good.
It just needs to get the last people to get the memo is always the police, though. So, like I always say, even Spanibus time, everyone has to be super careful because Spanibus is so busy. Everyone knows that there's a bunch of cannabis users in the city, and the police literally see it as a revenue making exercise.
Of course, they do. This pocket money.
Yeah,
for them.
That's it. They love
that
fine.
That weekend, they probably make more money than they make in the whole year.
Oh, can you imagine? There's 30 plus thousand people
they
in Barcelona.
Well, either you're going to pay €250, €500 fine. So everyone should be very careful and vigilant. When you leave the club, be careful. Don't be smoking joints on the road. Be undercover. Don't be smoking joints in cars.
No, that's
you
exactly what
over,
I say.
They're just going to extort you. It happened. The last few years happened to many people.
Yeah, I've heard some horror stories, bro. I've heard some real
and
horror stories about people losing stuff.
Club. They sit there waiting for you.
Yep. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Well, if you weren't getting paid that much money and you saw opportunity like that, bloody, I think a lot of people would jump on it on that job, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's it. It's like police just literally see cannabis users as a revenue maker.
You're getting their money. And you're getting the weed. They confiscate the weed and smoke it as well.
Yeah, of course, because you know, well, do you know what? To be honest, they're Spanish, yeah, so they probably prefer hashish. So they're hoping that you got some nice oil or something, and they're just going to throw it straight in with some tobacco and smoke
imagine
it.
Imagine the first year when everyone bought loads of BHO, and they never knew what it was, remember?
Oh, bro, they're so confused.
Some
I remember,
of them must have went home and had some whiteies.
Yep. I remember a guy in Amsterdam getting busted with oil from us, and the police thought it was heroin. They didn't know what it was. So they're like, yep, it's liquid. It must be black tar heroin. I'm like, oh shit. Now he's got
to
fucking
figure it out. Yeah, I remember the first year when the BHO actually come out and he's got those slabs. People were confused. People were even bringing it through airport somehow.
Yeah, people are so casual.
Someone said to me that the customs took it out and looked at it and put it back in the bag.
Yeah,
like,
people don't know what it
because
is.
Because they were confused. They thought it smelled like sweets.
Yeah.
They thought it was some sort of sweet thing, homemade sweets.
So crazy, bro. A few years from now, we'll be able to travel through airports. You'll be able to have it on your carry-on. Oh, hopefully those days are getting closer. I keep seeing people in America doing it, and I just hope for those days to come. As much as life is more relaxed and the laws are more chilled in Barcelona.
Well, there's more serious things in the world to worry about.
Yeah, that's it.
A bit of puff, exactly. A bit of smoke or medicine for someone. Tell you the truth, the saddest things I hear on the media and news and stuff is about people going abroad to go get, they got the prescription from the doctor and they've gone to buy the cannabis from Holland or somewhere and they've flown back and it's been all taken off them.
Yeah.
And they're genuinely ill and, you know, they've got a sickness and they can't, you know, they've had £2,000-3,000 worth of medicine that they took months to save up the money for. That's the things that make you feel sick hearing about the system.
Yeah, trust me. The sad thing is, bro, we know the reality is that they just want to make money and that's why it's going to be legalized. They're just taking their time and dragging their feet to figure out how can they make the most money. Yeah, how can we make the most money, have the most control, because England's got conservative government in control now, so you're pretty much fucked. So if they're going to legalize it...
You can grow your own medicine.
Yeah, that's it. It's going to be interesting.
Grow your medicine in your attic, anywhere, in your house, in your cupboard.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, pharmaceutical companies are not going to like this.
One of the things I like out in Spain is that they've desensitized people from a long time, because when you go to places like the Garden Centre, in the normal standard Garden Centre, like the equivalent of a Sainsbury's Home Base or a B&Q in England, in the same shopping centre, on the end of one of the aisles where they've got all the tomato food and seeds and things like that, they've got cannabis plant food with cannabis pictures all over it. So when your old neighbours go and get their seeds for their crop that year to grow tomatoes and cherries or whatever they want to grow, they see cannabis plants on boxes and think to themselves, oh, it's legal. So they don't even pay no attention to it. So then there's not that snitchy vibe where if they get a whiff of some plants, they're looking to tell anyone or do anything. So that's what we need to do in England, is desensitize people to the smell.
Because that's the one people worrying about is meth factories, not cannabis grow rooms.
Yeah, 100%, bro. 100%.
Victimless crime, mate.
Yeah, we just got to start.
All I see is just stone people.
We got to just be a good role models as smokers and do it the right way, so that as it becomes legalized, if people are sensible about it and respectful, then we've got a good chance of things happening faster.
There obviously should be an age limit to it and stuff, because let's be real, yeah? All right, I know we all smoked a bit when we were a bit young and that, but it has to be controlled to a certain age also.
Me, bro, I'll be honest, yeah, it's a weird one for me because I don't think it's suitable for a developing mind. But at the same time, I was smoking when I was 15 and I think it helped me. So it's a weird thing.
It's everyone's different,
yeah.
If you understand what I mean. Everyone's different.
I think that's why it needs to be looked at medically.
It's like cannabis does not give psychosis to anyone. It can release, basically, these people already have it. It's just, when they smoke the cannabis, it probably unlocks what they already have in their head.
Yep.
Yeah? Because you have to already have this in your head. Because look, there's loads of smoking. Not all of us get psychosis from it, do we?
Yeah, we don't all get psychosis from smoking. That's exactly it, bro. It's all about the individual.
Come on, let's be real. There's foods out there with preservatives that can send kids psycho. They go running. My daughter, you give her some chocolate, she goes running around the house.
Yep. Definitely. Looking back at my childhood, at that time when my mind was overactive and I was a fucking like super hyped up kid, that would have been the opportunity. Then maybe something like CBD or something would have fucking calmed me down a little bit. Yeah. But instead, I was smoking weed. And I'll be honest, it was probably the CBD as much as the THC and the bush weed that we've smoked that was like calming me down and helping me focus. So these are the things why we really do need them to spend hundreds of millions on doing proper research and finding out how we can do it and make it a medicine.
Everyone needs to be educated about it.
Because we've looked at it as a drug for so long that we're afraid to say it not have it for kids. But what we
food, you can use water, anything.
Yep. The thing is, like, people are so terrified about cannabis being used by kids. It's because we've got such a drug association with it. We need to think, do you know what? As a medicine, we're not going to ask a 12-year-old to smoke fucking cannabis, do you know what I mean, to medicate. But if there's a way that they can medicate with it, some kind of extract, or for instance, if a kid was to use a THC balm for pain.
Do you remember that stuff that come out? Spice. Kids were smoking synthetic cannabis.
Oh, God. That's.
I'd rather kids will smoke real cannabis than synthetic.
Yep.
Yeah, not that. Children, but, you know, come on, let's be real. You've seen these people taking spice. They leave this world. Their mind is somewhere else. Bro.
It's terrifying. I've done some psychedelics before, but I like natural psychedelics, unless it came from someone called Shulgin. I don't really want to
There's
fuck with
it. There's nothing wrong with a bit of shrooms.
Yeah, that's it. No, I love psychedelics, but Jesus Christ, spice is not for me. The minute I saw that stuff, I'm like, nah.
Anything synthetic is not good for you.
That's terrifying stuff, bro.
But, you know, this is now, you go through Manchester, you go through certain towns in the UK, you see people sitting there out of their face in Wonderland, on spice.
Do you know,
Amsterdam, damn square, you see people out of their face on spice.
I'm so glad I'm in Barcelona, because I don't really see no people on spice. Everyone gets hashish,
weed. The legalization of cannabis can help all this. It could stop all this. You know? It could wean them off it. Take them out of it. Cannabis can wean people off hard drugs all day long.
Do you know what it is as well, bro? I don't think people would really go for those hard drugs if cannabis was legal in a lot of circumstances,
of course,
because people would have some relief
people
and they'd be able to relax.
There's some areas in the UK, some people have access to cannabis, but they have access to spice.
Bro, do you know what?
I know, like,
you know, you think it's like a fake story where you hear people say these drug dealers, they try and sell you cannabis one day and then sell you heroin the next day. I actually remember growing up, one of my friends phoning me because that exact thing happened to him. He was like, Barry, I can't believe it. I just got offered heroin. I went to buy weed and they offered me heroin. What the fuck is this about? And it's like, I know, yeah, my friend was never going to smoke heroin. He phoned me because he was so fucking stunned by it. Like, it was such an occurrence. But I imagined a whole bunch of people in that circumstance have been asked, and if they asked 100 people, maybe one or two smoked heroin.
Somebody would do it. Someone who's weak-minded might. It's like, oh, by the way, I ain't got no flowers for you today, but I've got some heroin.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just want to get stoned, you know? And not knowing what it actually is, what they're getting themselves into.
Yep, 100%.
And they're an addict.
And when people are young and naive, it's easy for them not to have the understanding about this.
How much money is the government spending on heroin and crack addicts, yeah? On methadone, the hospitals. That's a lot of money. Government is wasting money.
100%.
There's other ways around it. They could legalize this, you know, and give people the opportunity, you know, to wean off. Because I've seen in certain countries, they use cannabis to wean people off hard drugs, and it's helped and it's worked.
Bro, they're doing so many tests now on things like mushrooms to help people with addiction. Ibogaine is another one. There's so many different things that can help. So, yeah, they definitely look into these things 100%. Ayahuasca has been known to help people break addictions. So these things do need to be looked into, because if they really want to solve some problems, the potential is there.
I see there is more benefit in cannabis than there is, you know, any harmful thing.
Oh, without
cannabis, even cannabis, it's not like tobacco. It's non-carcinogenic. It doesn't stick to your lung receptors. All it does is irritate your lungs. That's why people cough when they smoke.
Well, once you give up tobacco completely, it don't irritate your lungs. It's only when you're used to smoking tobacco and then you try and smoke pure.
Of course, tobacco is carcinogenic, isn't it?
Oh.
You've got the nicotine, you've got the tar, and it sticks to your lung receptors straight away. It's a sticky substance.
Are you smoking tobacco still or pure?
I'm weaning off. I'm coming off. But you know what it is? Because I used to smoke cigarettes before. I stopped smoking cigarettes years ago, and then I ended up just smoking joints with a bit of tobacco. Because I thought, what's the point of smoking it? Just put it all in one. And now I've been trying to smoke more pure joints. But I'm trying to slowly come off, but I'm also trying to calm down smoke, because as you get older, your lungs are not strong as before, especially if you have been smoking some disgusting tobacco over the last few years. But I'm not going to chat rubbish to people. I'll be real with people. how I smoke, what I do. I'm not trying to, you know, try to show people something else. You know, I am who I am. I do what I do.
You've got to get off that tobacco, though, bro. You've got to get off that tobacco. Bro. Come on, man. Tobacco, no, that's killing you.
I've been smoking a few pure joints and that.
You're a family man. Also, you've got children.
One thing is, I'm looking to just, I like taking a few dabs and not even smoking joints at all. That's what I've been on lately.
I find that, I find that's a lot better a lot of the time, bro. It saves a lot of time. Like at the end of the day, you got a kids and a wife, so you're busy. Yeah. You don't need to be spending an hour rolling a joint, smoking it. It takes a lot of time.
As I'm coming, turning 40 this year, it actually has been coming across my mind, calm down on this, even down to smoking, everything.
Dabs are a time saver, and it's easy to do that and get back on with family activities and not be away. And also, you're not stinking a smoke as well. So then when you do step out for a quick dab in another room.
You know, we come from that era that a lot of people did use a lot of tobacco, you know.
Well, do you know what, bro? I was pretty good. Like, I gave up in 2000. So for me, I was a trendsetter.
You know me? I remember.
Yeah, no, I was a trendsetter from 2000. I was smoking pure.
Far back, I remember you. I never see you use any tobacco.
No, because I literally stopped using tobacco and then started growing. So it's been like 20 years for me without tobacco. I've turned, with my peer pressure, I've got at least 30 people to give up smoking tobacco over the years.
But I've seen a lot of other guys like smoke pure joints and light a cigarette afterwards.
Yeah, I know. Americans
that's
love
one thing
that
I
one.
I never understand. I was like, why don't you just throw it all in one and just get over and done with? I did.
I always laugh at when people do that, because you know what? Sometimes I see them do it and they're like speed smoking the cigarette after the joint. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you might as well have them in your mouth at the same time.
One or the other.
Yeah, so funny, bro.
You're
so
gonna go
funny.
Pure, stay pure. There's no point tugging on that cigarette. It's like they're trying to get the nicotine hit afterwards.
Well, one thing's for sure, bro. Whatever you are smoking this year at Spanibus, make sure that it's your joint. Don't pass it to no one. Don't take no rigs off of no one. And keep your hands clean.
What? I've just ordered off eBay.
What?
I've just ordered a whole oxygen mask, breathing set, and the whole thing, the whole set, mate. You're gonna see me come out there.
I'm hoping that someone at Spanibus has got one of those gas masks, but with a dab rig connected to it, so I can put that on, save myself from coronavirus, and do dabs at the same time.
Hopefully, we should be all right. We should be all right.
I'm not panicking too
much. All
I'm going
to say is, anyone, if you're not feeling well, you think you may have coronavirus, please don't come to Spanibus.
That's a good shout. That is a good shout. If you've got a little sniffle, if you're feeling a little under the weather, don't risk it, because I don't want whatever you've got, and I'm healthy as fuck.
If you're feeling 100%, you have a good immune system, come out, let's get high.
Yeah, that's it. I'm taking a bunch of supplements, and I ain't smoking nothing from nobody.
Oh, we should be all right. Yeah. Come on, we've survived the H1N1 virus, the mad cow disease, the bird flu. We've been all right so far.
I survived growing up in Northwest London. I ain't worried about coronavirus.
Oh, it's so true.
Jones.
But yeah.
Well, it's been good talking to you, bro.
Have a great time. It should be all good.
No, it's going to be awesome, man.
220, pure sativa. Let's go, champ.
Can't wait, bro.
BDL base.
All of that.
BDL plug. Should be open as well, end of April.
Yeah, I'll get you back on for a full chat about that, bro. Once you're set up and everything's running, I'll call you and we'll have a full rundown of how the project's coming along, what flavors you're going to have, and when everything's going to be launching as far as your menu. So we'll do that, bro. I'm looking forward to that. You can give me a proper rundown.
Awesome.
Wicked, bro. Take care, and I'll speak to you soon. See you at Spanibus.
All right, let's go, champ. Peace and love.
Before I go, a massive thanks to our sponsors, Tressel BCN, The Plug BCN, Pure Sativa, and Moonshine Hydroponics. Make sure you check them out. Their details on our Instagram.
What kind of joint is this, man? Oh, it's a heavy.